I'm playing this for a couple of reasons. Number one, I know you like it, Mr. Douglas.
It's my favorite, yes.
Number two, St. Patrick's Day is coming up on Sunday. And we've got Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram here in studio with us on our local beat, which is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. How are you, Dave?
Oh, thanks for the Irish music introduction. That's pretty good. I'm doing well.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're looking for some green Irish-themed jewelry, you can head on down to Vandermark Jewelers. I'm sure they've got something for you down there. See, I would do that in like a cheesy Irish accent.
Irish-themed jewelry, huh?
I can't do it, man. Well, they have shamrocks, and they've got some other
good stuff down there.
I'm sure they do. If you're looking for a little good luck, I'm sure they've got some four-leaf clovers down there for you to choose from as well. So make sure you stop on by and see Jim and Bob and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. You know where they're located. We've been telling you about them for years now, right across from the hospital on Broad Street. Street in downtown Elyria. Well, you were a busy man this week. Holy cow, Dave. I mean, you have some really interesting stories, and I want to begin with something that you and I were discussing just before we came on the air. Quick shout out. I was visiting Jack Serra over at John Pace Auto before we came out here today, and you know, we were talking about an article that you recently wrote about this proposed idea of putting a homeless shelter over on Cleveland Street, and it's become one of those ideas where I think it was met with a great deal of resistance, and it sounds like things are going to get pretty interesting as far as this goes.
Well, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how council votes on this this coming Monday. I think we should be clear about kind of the idea of a homeless shelter. This is more what I might call, for lack of a better term, a transitional housing. So say somebody's been a victim of abuse and they ended up, you know, living out of their car, or kicked out by family, or they have a physical or mental, disability that precluded them from living, you know, in normal housing, and for whatever reason they ended up out on the street or chronically homeless. This is more, a place to have people live, you know, independently, but have services provided. So the Nord Center, Nord Family Foundation, Lorain County Board of Mental Health, they're all going to, have a stake in this. $12 million project, nothing to sneeze at. 60-some units. I think you're going to see more of a building rather than like a brick, warehouse. It's actually going to look more like an apartment building from my understanding anyway. And just have a place where people can go, and then down the line, if they get the services they need, if they get the right kind of treatment, and they get a chance to move into their own, rental property, mm-hmm. or move back in with family, or they get married. I mean, all these things. Kevin Brown from Pearl Developers was saying, any number of those reasons could be a reason why somebody might then decide to move out. Now, if you need more permanent housing, sure. Somebody could live there if they can't live somewhere else, due to handicapped access or something like that. So it's more of a transitional, or they call it supportive housing, development. And again, a $12 million project, it's going to throw a little money into the city coffers. But the city is and city council members and the mayor were pretty clear about this. They were hoping to use that property on East Bridge Street right there, which is in a commercial corridor, kind of catty corner across the street from the Elyria Post Office. They were hoping to use that more for another commercial development, put a store there, put a series of shops there, put something else there that would generate money. I see where they're coming from. Transitional housing is not going to generate money. I mean, you ask any township trustee or city official or city council member, when you put in housing, it costs you more. True. Down the line for police, fire, sewer, water, services like that. You have to put in all that infrastructure. So housing doesn't make you money unless you're the developer. it'll be interesting to see what city council does with it. And everybody on council was real clear. Look, this is something we need. Cuyahoga County has had a huge decrease in chronic homelessness over the past couple of years. For years, I've been reading stories about how their homelessness has the numbers have decreased because they put in this kind of housing, you know, in places where people have access then to the needed services and to jobs and things like that. Also, one of the critical issues that I didn't really go into great detail on was not a lot of transportation. I mean, public transportation, Elyria and Lorain County in general struggle with providing public transportation for people who might not have cars, who might not have bicycles. In the winter, riding a bicycle around here is difficult. So you need a heated bus. All of these things are going to go into the conversation, I'm sure, on Monday.
And I'm sure we're far from the finish line on this discussion. I have a tendency to believe this is probably going to pop back up again more than just a few times. And well, another interesting story that you wrote about has to deal with the traffic at Chestnut Ridge and 57. And I didn't realize that this had caused as big of a problem as it apparently causes quite frequently. And that's because Matt and I are on the air from 3 to 6 every day. So I'm not exactly running through there at these prime traffic times. But, boy, they were looking, I want to say, for about 2,000 signatures with this online petition to get ODOT behind this and try and get ODOT to do something. But there's so many layers here. ODOT apparently can only do so much. People who frequently travel at that intersection, you know, into the shopping plaza out there at 57 Chestnut Ridge, a lot of people that go through there, they say, look, something has to be done at these prime traffic times. Something has to be done. There's only one way in and one way out, and that causes way too many problems.
Especially at the Walmart there, and like we were talking about during the break, as a motorist, I'd love to see another entrance off of 57 there, right into the Walmart, in and out, easy access, you know, ingress, egress. Probably be a little bit better for, you know, say the fire department in case, you know, God forbid there's a, you know, sure, there's a fire or an alarm or some sort of, you know, some sort of medical emergency. I know a lot of times, you know, the fire chiefs push, you know, their transportation colleagues to have more entrances and exits to property like that for emergency purposes. I think the police department's probably much the same. But the problem becomes that the city can't do anything unilaterally. ODOT has to go through first its own review process, but the property owner has to say, hey, we want this. Can you put it in another entrance off of 57? Well, ODOT can't just do that. They can't just snap their fingers and there it is. Also, you know, the property owner has to petition for it. That's going to be a cost for another traffic study to pay back the federal government. For some of the federal money that was used to buy the right of way, it goes from local to ODOT district to ODOT central to the Federal Highway Administration. So there's so many, so many irons in the fire, so many fingers, you know, so many people have to sign off on this. It's not going to happen for years. Quite honestly, from my reading of everything and from everybody I talk to, we're talking a couple more years before this happens. Then with the additional development out there of the 55 and over, Kay Hovnanian is doing a...
Exactly where my mind went, yeah.
You know, they're doing a housing, you know, 55 and up housing out there. There's a secretive, you know, mixed-use development that's going in south of Chestnut Ridge. And it's there's so much going on out there, and that's one of the last places that Elyria has to expand. There's a lot going on out there. So I don't think you're going to see a real change, and people are just going to have to kind of be careful and take it easy out there, and deal with some of the traffic. But that's just me. I mean, if somebody comes in with a better idea, you know, if there's some signals or this so-called Michigan left turn that was the first time I'd ever seen that. I know I've taken them, driving in the, in the great mitten up north.
Sure.
So
is that where you have to go right to turn left or whatever?
It's kind of like an alternative, growing up in my, you know, in my home state of New Jersey, and we had jug handles.
Yeah. Where
you have to go right to make a left to get around to the other side of the divided highway. So it's, again, there's a lot going on. There's a lot that still needs to be worked out. City engineers looking for money. They balked at the, you know, almost $4 million cost of doing some of this work, putting in a roundabout and all these other kinds of things. And I'm, again, no traffic engineer. And ODOT said, hey, there's a lot that we need to still do. So I think that one's going to – I think hang on mm-hmm. is probably the best advice.
Well, it's only going to get worse. As you mentioned, I mean, they're just kind of building. That's the last place Elyria kind of has to grow and expand, and they certainly appear to be doing that. So it sounds like this may just get worse here over the years.
Time will tell. Time will tell on that one, man. Yeah.
Well, and I saw they were looking for 2,000 signatures on that online petition. They're getting pretty close.
Yeah, they're
getting awfully close. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. On a much, much lighter note, my friend, we talked about this on the show, I think, Thursday or Friday of last week, and I thought, boy, what a really cool assignment. And I think it was the second one in as many weeks you got to go to a Top Chef competition.
Yes.
And this one I thought was really cool, and I thought you captured the emotion of the young man that won this competition very well. Ely Elementary, Future Chef Competition. Tell me about the winner, David Watkins. I thought his quote in the story was fantastic after he won.
Well, watching David realize that he had won not only the it's actually the district wide, but he represented Ely Elementary third year in a row that an Ely student has won this this district wide competition. Sodexo, which provides all the food services for the district, runs this throughout the U.S. and I think in 200 or almost 300 districts across the nation. But he took one look at all the stuff that he got being the grand prize winner for his taco pizza breadsticks. I've already sent the recipe out to a couple people who have asked for it. He saw that and his jaw went from straight against his top teeth down to the floor. Gave his mom a massive hug, not a dry eye among a lot of the people in the house, and they gave him a nice round of applause. And he just stood there and threw his arms up and said, "That's how it's done, son."
That's my favorite part of that.
Good for him. He was he was working hard. And I told I believe it was his grandmother. I said, you know, I was back in the kitchen and watching him operate. He could have been on any one of these, you know, kids cooking shows that's on the, you know, Food Network or whatever. Sure. He's saying, "Could you please preheat my oven to 350 degrees? Thank you very much. And could you pass me the avocados? And please hand me this and that and the other thing." And so zoned in. I mean, he was on it. And well done. Kudos to him and to the rest of the chefs, all of whom got high marks from the judges, and the judges were impressed by everything they made. So good for David and good for the rest of everybody who competed.
Taco pizza breads, are these stuffed? What is this exactly?
It's basically refrigerated pizza dough.
Okay.
And then you cut it into squares. You throw some avocados, cheese, turkey, I think was in there too, and because these are healthy options.
Sure.
So, you know, turkey as opposed to beef. You kind of roll that all up and stick it in the oven, you know, 17 to 25 minutes. Uh-huh. And I'll try to put that recipe out on Twitter if I can. That's
sounds good. Maybe a future daily food for thought item, I'd have to think.
Not a bad idea. And there's a whole booklet of recipes. And these kids really went all out. They were working hard.
Absolutely. I think that is a future food
sure.
for thought for
one
sure.
One of us will have to try and make it, but yes.
Oh, yeah. We'll give it a shot. One of us will anyway. So Dave said he might put that out on Twitter. Give Dave a follow, at Dave O'Brien CT. That's at Dave O'Brien CT. All right, my friend, before we cut you loose, we always talk about scanner stories, and I know you stumbled across a couple of good ones since we last spoke. What do you have for us this week?
I'm going to give you one that that was on March 11th, again from one of my friends who's out there. In the Twitterverse, a 10-year-old child doesn't want to go to school, is locked in the bathroom. I think his comment was same kid, same.
We're all right there with
you. Yeah, we know what that's about. And another one from my buddy Mark Kovac down in Columbus. Quote, "I have an auto. It is not on fire." Unquote. Context unknown.
Yeah. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. The rest is left up to your imagination, right? Yeah,
yes.
You can fill in the blanks from there. Good stuff. Well, Dave, as always, a lot of fun to have you here in studio. We appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
Good to be here and looking forward to it.
absolutely. Good stuff. Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and see Jim and Bob Vandermark and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers. They are located on Broad Street right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry.